I hope you have one of these. I know some of you are thinking, maybe he forgot about the prayer journal thing. Oh, no. A prayer journal means when something is on my heart, it gets written down. When something needs to be prayed for often, I record it. Because if I don't, that means my prayer life is just hit or miss. You know, it's, well, oh yeah, I said 3 months ago I'd pray for them. I forgot about that. Or, oh yeah, I should pray today. I forgot about that. If you write it down, it means you're serious. If you don't write it down, it probably means you're not taking prayer as seriously as you should. Yeah, you may write it in your Bible. You may have little stick-it notes at places, or you may actually have a book that's got certain pages and a section devoted to certain things. And I do. And some of you are in here, and if you can be, if the occasion arises for something special in your life, it's a joy to flip through and to realize there are people that God has placed in my life that I'm going to pray for. My personal words don't possess a power inherent to me. My prayer means that I've engaged him. Because what's in here is bigger than what I can deliver. But if I engage him, if I talk with him, if I call unto him, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So a lot of folks are sick these days. Please remember to pray for those who are sick and people that are dealing with infections and seasonal stuff. There's just a lot of stuff. Aren't you tired of getting colds? Aren't you tired of your kids getting the flu or whatever? It does seem to be going around. Keep your hands clean. Try to just have good practices. If you're sick with something that's contagious, please don't spread it around. Don't bring it to church or work or school. Try to be responsible. And then finally, I want to give you a word because I care about you. If you, if weather turns really frigid, like last night, 16, 18 degrees, if you have to be out, make sure your car tank is always over half full of gas in case something should happen. Run off the road or whatever, you have enough gas to keep your car warm for a while. And make sure you keep your phone charged so that if you need to call for help, you can. It's a good idea to keep some blankets in your car, to keep some drinking water in your car. It's a good idea to let people know when you're coming and going so they can know when to expect you and such. Keep gloves, and scarf, and a hat. You lose a lot of heat off the top of your head, and some of us who have less hair than others lose even more heat than others. So just be wise. Be careful. We love you and care about you. All right, today I wanted to share with you one of the coolest passages in all the Bible. Probably one of the most preached passages in all of Scripture. I've preached on it at least once, maybe twice here. Add another one to it because there's always something new, always a new meaning, always a new purpose to it. And this comes to us from Ezekiel chapter 37. So open your Bibles with me. Ezekiel chapter 37. Our church is actively working in a search toward a team for youth ministry. Pray for us as we are in that process. It's been my pleasure to kind of help in the interim time teach the youth in Sunday school. And I found out this morning a couple of them actually paid attention. So I'm really grateful for that. Not only have I baptized a lot of those kids, been present at the hospital when probably most of them were born. So it's a joy to spend some time with them and to see their smiling faces. 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, they were very that were very dry. And he said to them, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews or ligaments on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy, preach. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I've spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of God. Some things suck the life right out of us. Israel had been conquered time and time again and exiled. People taken to another land, another place, incorporated into their realm. Babylonians, Assyrians, Persians. They used to be proud. Coming out of Egypt, thousands and thousands of God's army, proud servants of God. Worshiping priests taught the truth. Levites led them in worship. They were a proud people. No longer. So they say in their prayers to God, we're dried bones. We're dead. We're dried up. We're nothing. This is their prayer, their declaration, their misery. Have you been crushed by many defeats? Has the life been sucked out of you? You raised your children one way and the world is taking them away from you, ripping them from your hands. Marriage that should be a partnership for life is maybe just ticking away for it to end. Money just seems to be slipping through your hands. Inflation, problems, crises. Health seems fleeting. It was unusual for me to lay in a hospital bed, have a technician come in and say, I'm here to do your echocardiogram on your heart. I said, okay. It's painless. It's not alarming. Well, it's alarming to some people. Because you actually see your heart beating. Do you want to watch your heart? I said, I'm not sure. She said, you should watch it. It's really interesting. So before I gave her an answer, she just turned the screen to me on this little computer device. And she's doing like a sonogram kind of thing on my chest. And boom, boom, almost like expecting a baby, which thank goodness didn't happen. And I was beating and beating. And suddenly she said, look here. Would you look here? There's your valve. Opening, closing. Opening, closing. You see the blood flow? You see the heart movement? She said, that's your heart. It was cool. It was scary. If it stops, I stop. And I watched my heart beat, seeing God at work. Would you like to stay awake during surgery? You know, there's some surgeries where they can kind of numb you everywhere except from above your head. Most of us have the opposite problem. And they will let you watch the surgery, let you watch it taking place. I'm not interested in that. Go ahead and put me to sleep. What is God doing in our midst? What is God doing about a heart that beats? And what is God doing about bones that can be restored? What is God doing to take the crises of our lives and saying, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Oh, I may be done with what you intended and what you want, but I'm not done with my plan yet. And so Ezekiel got the dream that every preacher wants. So go out and just see how bad it really is. And so in a vision, God takes him to a valley. Now, we don't know if the valley itself was real and it was the bones that were part of the vision, or if he has this vision of the valley and the bones, but whatever, it sure was real to Ezekiel. God opened his spiritual eyes to imagine, what if Israel were a graveyard? I pity the people in emergency work, law enforcement work, and military work that have to come across dead bodies. Particularly when you find someone that's been dead, maybe washed up on a shore after a month or two. I can't imagine the horror. How do you numb your emotions to deal and process stuff like that? How do you deal with an entire bus or a plane involved in accidents and they're full of dead bodies? How do you go to another country to help out a war-plagued country in Africa or Europe and you discover mass graves filled with dead bones? So God gave this vision to Ezekiel and said, here it is. Check it out. They're not only dead, they're not only dry, they are very dry, meaning the sun has bleached them out. There isn't even an appearance of life in these. They're wasted. This is what you have. And he looked, and it was depressing. Then he gave him an interesting command. He said, why don't you preach? Don't you have a sermon ready? Pull out that scroll and just let her go. You get some notes, you get a sermon on your heart, just start preaching. I'm not sure what, maybe hope. Start preaching. Ezekiel had to be looking out thinking, Lord, they're dead if you hadn't noticed. I mean, they're not going to listen. They're dead. There is nothing to preach to. They're dead. Yeah, well, you just obey. See, that's one of the beautiful things about God. When he does something unusual, something really weird, something really different that makes you go, what? Just obey. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to explain it. Don't try to make it fit in a certain little box that you're comfortable with. Just do what he says. I don't know that I could ever remember, at least not in recent memory, a time that God had me do something weird or
There's something strange that's going on, whether it be at church or at the jail or at school or whatever, that I didn't say, well, okay. You're God, you know, okay. I could never remember a time that it didn't go amazingly well, because he's God. So Ezekiel started preaching. I'm sure he had to be skeptical. Really? Preaching to the thigh bones here and skulls over here. It's almost like a Indiana Jones movie. You know, just dead body parts everywhere, and you're preaching away. And then all of a sudden, something moved. Now I'll tell you a secret about church. Church is a wonderful, glorious, fellowshipping, worshiping, friendship place. But when you're here at 10 o'clock at night for some reason and there's nobody else in the place, you've only got what lights you have to get around in, and you hear something. I know it's the place where God meets with us, but I'm not sure it's God at 10 o'clock at night. You just kind of look around. And you start looking for more lights to turn on, as though that helps. I can't imagine being a funeral director working at the funeral home. And because you're backed up, you're working kind of late at night. And everybody that's in there except you is dead. But somebody moved, and it wasn't you. Things get real, real fast. So something moved. And he starts preaching over there. But something moves over here. It's a rattling sound. And it starts preaching over here. I mean, it's better than an amen. I mean, there's something happening. And then, bone flies. Bone flies. Two bones meet. Come down here. And before long, they are assembling like some majestic jigsaw puzzle. And Ezekiel, based upon preaching, hope, and the word of God, sees Israel start to come together. Wow. On top of that, ligaments reattached that help the bones work off each other. Muscle, tissue, skin, it all comes in. Hair, probably. Everything is in place. And now he looks and he sees before him an army of people. A people that used to be an army. A people that used to be warriors like my ancestors. Wow. But they're still dead. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe marriage has fallen apart. Maybe family dynamics are bad. Maybe you've lost your job and you're about to go under financially, but it's Christmas. It's time to get together for the family, and there's your cousin that makes six figures easily, and then there's an uncle that's retired and he's got more money than anybody, and there's so-and-so who's all their kids have 3 degrees and are successful, and you're just dried up. So you go, you just pretend that everything's good. You've done that before, I'll bet. Everything's good. Or you're a fan of a certain sports team, and they couldn't beat their way out of a wet paper bag this year. You got to go to work or go to an event with somebody whose team can't lose, and they like to tell you about it. Can these bones live? Can they live? As he preaches and they come together, they're not alive, they're dead. And so it's like, what else? Well, why don't you preach to the wind and call it breath, that the breath of God will come and fill their lungs and give them life. So he does. He starts preaching to the wind, to the breath, and as he's preaching, it starts stirring. It starts blowing. And you see chests beginning to rise. You see nostrils beginning to flare. And you see eyes begin to open. And God says, Son of man, these bones, the house of Israel, the whole house. And they have felt like they have no hope and they're cut off. But I say to you, not so. The graves are open and they've come out. My people are alive. And they're going to enter into the land of Israel again. I'm going to restore them so that you shall know I am the Lord. You really know I'm the Lord when I open up the graves and dead people come out. That's how you know I am the Lord. Did you not find it interesting that Jesus, when he called for Lazarus to come out of the tomb, it was just a few days before his father would say, it's time. It's time. Arise, my son. He would come out of the tomb. It's then that you know he is the Lord. It's not when people are good, nice, moral, upstanding American Tennessee citizens. We do good things for people and say, I'd like a little more religion. Just, you know, what do I need? No, it's when we say, without him, I am dead. I don't really have much to offer God, except he gives me life and he gives me the cross. I don't really have much. But if he will save me, if he'll restore me, if his spirit will come and live in me and make me alive and empowered and directed, I'll obey because I want to be alive. I've seen people who are alive and I want what they have. Then things start to happen. And then you shall know, verse 14, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Churches are struggling these days. Let's be honest, they were struggling before COVID. I love that. Pastor, we would be there and we would be worshiping and giving and participating, volunteering, but it's the COVID. Yeah, well, how's that working? As it seems to fade from our midst, people have not returned. And this is sure of a war because in America, we've begun to lose the spirit of serving God, of being born again, of wanting to make an impact. We're way more interested in sports and politics than we are the Word of God. We can memorize statistics and give vote tallies before we know the Word of God. So here's a few things to remember. One, there is no new life without seeing dead bodies. As gruesome as that sounds, there is no new life without seeing dead bodies. Ezekiel could not preach life from God until he actually saw with his eyes dead bodies. We don't know we need Jesus till we see who we are and what we're capable of. A church doesn't realize they need reviving till they realize most of what we do is for us. We've cut our mission giving down to little or nothing because we don't need to be sending money around the world. We got to take care of our own. Yeah, and then the death begins. And we need to work on landscaping and decorating, and we need to work on the improvements for this, and we need to, and listen, there's room for everything, okay? But there's really only one reason why we're here. Y'all know this. If you don't know this, you've missed the great truth of the Great Commission. There's only one real reason why there's a church right here on the corner of Colonial Heights Road in Fort Henry. It's to make sure that the people that live in our neighborhood have the chance to be adopted into the family of God. You settle for less than that and you're not a church. Not saying we don't teach and we don't minister and we don't love. I'm saying the primary purpose is a church here and this church here and this church here. And I'm going to be really blunt. There's a whole lot of churches that have totally abandoned that. And because they have not been able to move in that direction, they just assume, well, that's not our calling. Then they're not a church. They're a community center. There's probably a need for that. But folks, we're here because we live in a community. It may be an extended community. They need Jesus. And on top of that, we then provide a fuel through resources and prayer and participation to help take it even beyond here so that people are saved. They have a connection with the power of God. So there's no new life without seeing dead bodies. If we can't see in church where we've dried out a bit and we need Jesus more, and there's no hope for us. But if we can see where the dead bodies are, there's hope. God's word begins the return of life. That second one. God's word begins the return of life. God spoke and the world came into existence. Scripture says that Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, the Logos. And the word was with God. And the word was God. He's always been about the truth. Not truth in general, little t, the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not a philosophical debate. It's not a set of words you read somewhere. You will know the truth. Jesus said unto Thomas, Thomas, you not get it? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to Dad except by me. So it's through the word. It's always good to teach. It's always good to preach. It's always good to share. It's always good to read. God's word is always good and it's necessary for life. You've got to have the word of God. Whether you just happen to open your Bible and it flops open to a page, or you're reading a selected section, or someone shares something, it may seem absurd to preach to dead bones. They're dead. But his truth gives life to us when we are desperate in need of life. Spend time in the Word of God, whether it's a daily plan or whether you just start reading and you're interested. You don't have to read every chapter in the Bible in a year. That's a nice goal, but maybe read the New Testament this year, one chapter a day. It'll take you through. Maybe read the Psalms. Spend some time reading Psalms or Proverbs or whatever. But let your life in your church saturate in the Word of God. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit breathes life into the dead. Not me. It's not a preacher. It's not an organization. It's not a strategy that brings life. No, life comes because the Holy Spirit shows up. Now, a lot of us kind of scared the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you why. Because you can't control him. We like to control. We like to pick curriculum. We like to choose which passage to study today. We like to set parameters. Can't control the Spirit. He lets the wind blow wherever it needs to blow. He's always good. He always gives life. See, there's still a lot of people that believe that church is an organization, a nonprofit organization. Let me tell you what, if you believe that, we're dead already. It's not an organization. It's an organism. It's a living body. And the Holy Spirit fills saved people to direct us to cooperate, to move, to lead, to guide, to touch, to impact. Somebody asked me the other day, said, do strange things, do they ever happen to you? Like, oh, that's a story of my life. I finally figured out at this age in life that whatever strange thing happens, just do it. Because it never is wrong. Just do it. We reach beyond ourselves as God's Spirit speaks to our heart, our mind, leads our hands and our feet, does a new work in us. And finally, I end with the question. So what do we do with an army anyway? What do we do with an army? If God's raising up an army, what do? I mean, do we fight? Do we take up arms? Do we charge? Do we come up with strategies of attacking here and attacking there? Jesus declared, we must do the works of him who sent us. He said that about himself and about us. The reason is, it's daylight. You can work when it's daylight. They didn't have electricity in those days. So you can only work while it's light. Once the night comes, work stops. Same is true for us. God wants us to work. What's that work involved? See if you remember this. Put on your thinking cap. Share Jesus. Pray effectively. Live generously. Pretty simple. And you find ways to let that explode in sharing Jesus and in sharing the gospel. I'm sold out and committed to that. I get my fishing net on my hip, always casting, waiting, watching, seeing what God wants to do, where he directs fish. And you pray effectively. It's why there's a book where there's names that are on your heart, and you keep praying over and over again. Not if I happen to remember, because I'm committed to remembering. And then live generously, not just reaching your wallet for money, but generous with friendship, generous with your time, generous with your kindness. And when you sense the Spirit flowing, just obey. Not just obey. Get out of the way. Don't let your preconceived ideas and traditions and stuff, don't let those shut down what God might be doing. Just say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. It may be weird, but I'll do it. A week ago or so, there's an NFL football game. A young man was involved in a typical play. He was tackling another player. And the guy with the ball put his head down and plowed into him like it's done 100 times every game, in every single game. But this time something went wrong in his chest with his bone structure, ribs, and heart, and his heart stopped. He died. He died on the field. They rushed to him. They did CPR to revive him, and he revived. And it looked like it was going to be horrible, and not totally horrible. It looks like he's going to live and do okay. Not sure if he'll play football again, but he's alive, and he's a believer. He gives full credit to God. And something happened on that day. The power of God showed up in prayer. In a world that says, we don't need church, we can worship at home, and in reality, we don't really even need to worship much. You know, I don't like churches. I knew a church once long ago. They did something mean, and I don't believe in church, and I'll just do my own thing. My kids don't need Jesus. I mean, they do, and we'll give them Jesus, but they don't need church. I don't care for the different youth ministers in our neighborhood anyway. It's all, we're okay. We don't need, and we've stopped praying. And suddenly, two entire teams went to their knees, not to protest our nation or our flag, they went to their knees to shield and protect this young man from onlookers and curiosity seekers. And many of them prayed. And people everywhere began to pray. Why this young man? They focus their prayers on and not other injuries and stuff. I don't know. Well, I do know. The Spirit of the Lord showed up in America. And announcers, television personalities, they have a personal faith, but are told, don't you get religious on us. You get religious, you're out of here, buddy. They had the courage to say, I want to pray for us. And they prayed on the air. And people everywhere began to pray. They began to post on social media, praying right now, I'm praying right now. We're praying. Our family's praying. We're praying for this young man. We're praying for him. And the whole world began to be moved by the Spirit. And I think God is ready. I can't change the world. I mean, I really can't even change your church. At best, you know, I can't even change me, can I? Only He can. But I'm responsible for me, kind of responsible for you. But I'm really responsible to God to do what He wants to do. So maybe this year, as we're talking about New Year's resolutions and going to the gym and eating less food and exercising and getting our finances in order and whatever else we're doing, maybe it's time for the bones to say, we don't want to look like we're alive. We want to be alive. I don't want to just live a better life. I want to live His life. I want Jesus.